Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Minecraft Hour. Oh wait, no, this is Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John.
Boys and girls, you're going to have to forgive us a little bit. It's an early morning recording for us.
Early for you guys.
Somebody scheduled this pre-coffee.
Pre-coffee.
Ben just rolled out of bed. His hair's a mess, if you can picture that.
So what you're saying is BC.
How is that different from any other time we're recording?
BC. Before coffee. Yes.
Or me, it's BT, before tea, you know. Although I've already had one cup at least, so.
Yeah. Well, you said you slept all the way until 5:15 this morning, so.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't sleep in like that. For me, that is sleeping in. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
I understand. I normally get up at 5:10.
For me, that's a late night.
Late night playing Minecraft? Oh, wait. That's John.
Pretty much.
So let's see. Oh my God, we haven't all been together like this since we did a little thing a couple weeks ago.
That was
little? We weren't supposed to talk about that, Dave.
Oh, hey, actually, it was just a week.
Oh, wait, that other thing.
Oh, you're talking the actual podcast. All right.
You're funny.
That's why you pay me the big. But wait a minute, I don't get paid. Damn it! I keep getting that wrong.
So yeah, the Philly Podcast Festival.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's over now. None of you can go experience that anymore. But wait, we have recording.
Yes.
Which we are rapidly trying to destroy one by one.
No. No, but I mean, it's funny because, I mean, you know, when we recorded last week with Ryan, before we got on with him, John was like, oh, I'm still so stoked about the podcast festival, you know.
Yes.
And it makes me wonder, does he want to do that again?
Want is a strong word.
Yes, but John was in his element, I think.
This was John, fun.
Yes, John came out of a shell that I didn't even realize he was contained in when we were there.
What do you mean?
You became the prof comic on that particular day. I think you idolized the wrong radio host in Good Morning Vietnam.
Well, you know, I have been told that I have a voice for silent film, so I have to go with my element, right?
Yes.
A prop comic on a audio podcast.
Yes.
Is that kind of like a Led Zeppelin?
You do what you can.
Okay. If that makes you happy.
Yes.
So, yeah, hey, at least I brought my alcohol with me.
Yes, you did. I could do some of that.
And I just want to remind our listeners that...
That reminds me, I've still got some left over.
If you haven't listened...
It's never too early.
Well,
some people... Never too early for some Foley artistry.
I want to remind our listeners that if you go back and listen to episode 120, we also had the Pete's Basement contest that we're a part of, and we asked a trivia question on that episode. I'm not going to say it again here. If you still want to be a part of it, you have until the 17th, and this is going up on the 16th. So you have a day. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, you have until the 17th. Go listen to that episode, hear the question that we ask, and then go to petesbasement.com /NYCC_giveaway, and you can win two free passes to New York Comic Con this year. I will be there. I will be at New York Comic Con this year. I will be in Artist Alley hanging out with my good friend Greg Horn. So if you want to see me and you don't have passes yet, go back and listen to episode 120.
And
right?
If you want to see me, I will be thinking about it while not there at all.
I am going to try to be there this year.
You are? Wait a minute. This is news to me.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's been so long since I've been to a con, and like, you know, we're on a podcast about the damn thing, so why not? And I deserve it. I can't even afford a vacation, so
you're,
I'm going to take
you're good
one.
Enough. You're smart enough.
And gosh darn it.
Doggone it. People like you.
Like
you. Well, hey, Greg liked me. I manned his post for a while there and,
wow.
and had fun. I was,
wow.
What?
Greg likes everyone.
Especially people who man his post.
Wait, okay. Way to take it away from me, Dave, and way to make it awkward, Ben.
I do what I do. It's a gift.
I man his post twice a year, you know. I mean, it's just, oh
my
wait.
Goddess. And, really?
And his wife really? Is, his wife's okay with that.
I
but, oh, wait,
I thought
wait,
we were
wife
to
or my wife?
Either
okay.
of them.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going nowhere I want to be.
Well, hey, you know what? Then fine. If you're not going to New York Comic Con, at least you have the upcoming TV season to look forward to, right?
There is that, yes.
I mean, there's, you know, we've got Flash coming back, we've got Arrow coming back, we've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back, and unfortunately, we even have Gotham coming back.
Yes.
How did that get a second season? I was the most mild of the people about it, and right. I still can't see it getting a second season. I have no
greenlit
idea.
They greenlit it before they lost the large share of their audience.
This is
Fox.
I know. Oh, I know. I don't know what it is that they... it has to be an inexpensive show to shoot, because I don't understand... First of all, you were pointing this out the other day, Dave, that they actually have, like, you know, their score on, you know, per episode on like Rotten Tomatoes is climbing, like it's higher
yes.
over time, and which only cements in my mind that the people who would have given it a bad score over time just dropped off, and so the only people scoring it are the idiots who like it.
Right, and it was getting a higher rating, but yet viewers were dropping off.
Yeah.
In the same time. So it's like, what the hell is going on here?
It feels like
if we went back 10 years ago, is it 10 years ago? It might be more than 10 at this point. And we had the same technology, and the Firefly audience could rate the show and be enthusiastic about it, then... maybe that would have still been on the air.
Maybe.
Can we do that retroactively, please?
That would be awesome. But I don't think it's happening.
Because I sent you guys the numbers. Like, they had the same audience. They had a bigger audience when they got canceled than the final episode of Gotham.
Yeah, but the problem is that times have changed as far as show audiences. Like, the same size audience back then would be considered an unacceptably small audience. By those standards, then the standards have changed. You know, in today's time, you can't garner an audience the size that you could a decade ago. It just isn't possible. Like you can't even hope for those kinds of numbers in today's market. There's too many cable channels. There's too many, you know, TV viewing alternatives such as Netflix and Hulu and things like that, where they, their competition, as well as just areas of viewing that they're not measuring.
Right.
So even though there are more people watching stuff now, I mean, our just by dint of the population going up, they're still finding less and less people, or they're still looking at a smaller audience, meaning a longer term season or whatever, longer term series.
Right. The audiences are shrinking because there's too many things. Like, people are spread thin. There's so many options for people to watch nowadays.
Right.
And there's also so many ways for people to watch these things, that many of which aren't really coming into the numbers that they're calculating.
Right. Because, like, not only is there Netflix now, there's Hulu, there's so much, even people were just watching the shows online from the station's websites.
Right. And it's only in the past year that they've even started really even counting DVR numbers.
Right.
Like a lot of those don't even, you know, before the past year, they would pretty much ignore DVR numbers altogether.
That's actually something I wanted to point out. I'm glad you said it, because yes, there's people now yelling at their phones or their computers saying, but if you count the DVR numbers, their Gotham's numbers were higher than Firefly. Yes, but again, they just started counting DVR and
right, and even that has its limits. They've really, right. I believe, in most cases, they only look at the DVR numbers for people who've watched it within 1 week of the original airing of the show.
Yes, yes, it has to be within, I think, 6 days, something like that.
Yeah. Prior to the next episode airing, basically.
Which is so funny, because then, like, how do you rate something like Daredevil, which is, you know, on Netflix, and all the episodes are put out right away, and you could watch the first three episodes and then decide a month later to go back and finish it, you right. know? That doesn't mean it wasn't popular. It just, it's on the internet. It just means
that person's insane.
Yeah, but they wouldn't want to binge watch the whole series. But that didn't happen. You know, they probably looking at the numbers and say, well, you know, this guy started watching on a Wednesday and finished watching all the episodes on a Thursday, and on Friday he got fired for some reason. So.
Well, and then, but then the other issue is, right, like, we have Jessica Jones coming out soon. So there might be people who are Jessica Jones fans who jump on to watch that and then go, oh, let me go back and watch Daredevil now that didn't watch the first time. But that's, yeah. Now it's 6-7 months later, 8 months later. Like,
right.
You know, how do you rate that? It's really hard to rate that at that point.
Well, I would say that Netflix will find a way to rate that, because they're smart about these things. They understand that the new ways that people are watching things. The problem is that the general, like, Daredevil probably doesn't even, and most of these Netflix shows probably don't even show up on the radar of these traditional types of measurement, because the industry hasn't really shifted to account for them appropriately.
Right. No, I mean, it's true with all the traditional media industries. They don't know how to rate these things anymore, because and the thing is, for the longest time they were trying to hold on to the old ways. I'll just use the Nielsen ratings. They don't mean right. anything anymore. Where
I don't think they really mentioned anything in the first place.
But
yeah, because they handpicked the families that were able to, that got a Nielsen box.
Yeah.
So they were literally given to people that they knew would boosters or bolst up certain ratings.
Right.
That never. Right.
And it's a narrow sample size. Like, we literally have the technology at this point to measure actual numbers.
Right. Everyone's watching.
But we don't. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. They know what you're watching, people. So that porn you watched last night, we know. Oh, wait.
Well, of course you know. I shared that with you.
Oh, okay.
but you know the only people that are getting hurt by all this. Are the
DC fans who have to watch Gotham?
No, besides them.
Oh, okay.
And less so than them. the poor advertisers. They are so, and we who worked for a certain company that had to do with advertising at one point or another, you know, the ways in which people are blocking advertising now. I mean, Netflix has got the right idea. You pay a small amount and you get a bunch of shows. The only thing, of course, which sucks is that the movie theater, the producers of content are trying to cut Netflix out constantly and put stuff on their own venues. But but the advertisers, I mean, even on, if you don't know, YouTube just came out apparently like a couple of days ago with a way of getting around stuff like ad blocks. You're watching advertisements no matter what you do now.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also why this article came out a little while ago. I don't think we ever talked about it. Is Netflix has been playing around with the idea of adding advertising, and it's not clear how they're going to do it. Like, if they're going to have a free service and then the paid one, you don't have advertising or what. But there is a market where they were in the Midwest somewhere where they started playing with that, putting advertising on. You know, like. Do we just do an ad at the beginning of it? Do we do one in the middle? And I think it's because of what John just said is the bigger boys are trying to do everything they can to push Netflix out. They're limiting what content they can get. Their Comcast, we all know, is playing with the bandwidth, allowing you to have smooth streaming on Netflix and all that fun
stuff.
They were. I know. Net neutrality fixed that. But, which is why I didn't get a smart TV until after they passed that. But anyway, it's not because I'm cheap and I was waiting.
No.
my God, my wife can't stop watching Netflix now on the TV. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's a scary thought though, you know, like, oh, well, to make everyone happy so we can get more content, we're just going to go the way everyone else is, you know?
Well, yeah, and it would be a shame because, I mean, it is sort of one of those pieces of what I find a nuisance about, like, you know, I use Netflix fairly heavily for things, but I also occasionally will watch things through Hulu. And Hulu's also charging you, you know, a monthly fee, but they've always thrown commercials in there. And that's always bugged me a bit. Like, if you're going to throw the commercials in there, those commercials are there to abate costs. So you don't have to charge people.
Exactly. Right.
But they choose to anyway.
Exactly. And that's actually the article that I read was pointed to Hulu as a model. Like, that, you know, well, if they can do it, then why can't Netflix? It's like, yeah, but it's
because they shouldn't do it. That's why.
Right. Exactly. You know, it'd be like paying for HBO and then HBO putting commercials in the middle of Game of Thrones. Right. You know, it'd be like, why am I paying for this then?
Exactly. You're paying a premium to not have to watch those ads. And I honestly, like I said, I only recently started subscribing to Hulu for certain shows that I wanted to have access to on there. But it still bugs me. It bugs me that I'm paying money and I still have to watch commercials that I cannot skip.
Well, you know how you solve that. You cancel your Hulu.
I know that. I know I can do that.
That's how you vote with your voice by cancel with your dollar.
That. Right. But that's not going to change anything. It's not going to change their behavior. It's a model that people have bought into.
If everyone listening to this podcast who subscribes to Hulu canceled after listening to this podcast, not canceled the podcast, canceled Hulu, then they would send a message to them.
You have a gross idea of the size of our audience, Dave, and their impact. But
then again, they're not paying for this podcast, so they're probably not paying for Hulu. So
that's true. Exactly. The impact is small.
So back to God Ham.
Have you seen the trailer or any of the videos for the upcoming season?
Yeah. And I'm just like, that was the whole thing too. The biggest complaint I had from last season, I heard from other DC fans as well, is they just kept shoehorning in villain after villain after villain. And
yeah.
Guess what they said? Guess what? Next season's even more of that.
Yeah. It's all about villains. Because it hasn't been so far.
No.
And some of these might even have capes. Because why not?
Of course. It makes sense.
It's gonna wind up. I mean, Smallville had the same problem at the end of their near the end of their tenure, where it just they had introduced so many characters that it became more of a soap opera than an action thing. You know, they had to start inventing conflict, and it got weird.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing that Smallville was trying to do that was a little bit weird was they were trying to do the, you know, the equivalent to the question of, you know, what was Jesus doing between age 12 and 30? They were doing that with Superman, essentially.
Jesus metaphor.
That is awesome. That is the most awesome comparison I've ever heard. So anyway.
And yeah, so they created a lot of lore and mythos that they played around with, because what else were they going to do? And I bought into that much more so than I'm buying into the Gotham version of it, because that isn't what it is in that case. I mean, yes, you have a young Bruce Wayne, you know, trying to figure things out, but that's almost, it's not even a secondary plot. It's a tertiary plot at best to this show. This show is really about a city with corruption and weirdos, really, is what it's about. Corruption and weirdos is all that's going on here. And there's really, I don't know, it bothers me. It bothers me because the whole first season was mostly, you know, organized crime. And I was, even though, you know, that wasn't my problem with it, that I was okay with, because that's what it should be. It shouldn't be anything but organized crime, because that's what was prevalent up to the point that Batman came to town.
Right.
So to speak. So to have any other version of villains, aside from organized criminals, mafia, and those sorts of things, is to tarnish the mythos by a significant margin. Because really, it's something that's been established over and over again in various different formats. The rise of the costume villains was a direct result of the fall of organized crime at the hands of Batman.
Right, which they have totally thrown that out the window. And not only that, like, so many people have pointed this out. It doesn't make sense for the ages either. Like, you know, Harvey Dent and Bruce Wayne were supposed to be really good friends, but they brought in a Harvey Dent who's 10 years older than the Bruce Wayne we currently have. Right. They were supposed to be like
a DA character, so they went with it.
Right. But like, they went to college together. Like, obviously they can't go to college together now. And
well, and it could if you know, he got a scholarship because he's, you know, really smart. And...
Yeah.
And then the worst, and everyone outcried that I know when they brought in their Joker, and they're continuing with him.
See, that's, like, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Joker, and I'm saying what other people have said in the past. The Joker was somebody the reason why he's so scary is because nobody ever knew where the hell he came from, what his past really was. All they knew was he was insane and he'd kill you at the drop of a hat. Right. And probably in some way that was kind of funny, but also really bad.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole thing with with not really knowing who he is and what he is, there's a psychological aspect of you can put your fears behind what he is and makes him scarier.
Yes.
You know, when you find out that his name's Joe and, you know, he's crazy because his girlfriend broke up with him and whatever.
That
you
diminishes
know.
Him. It just really diminishes him.
Right.
And it gives you a way to also fight him and make him not scary anymore. And yeah. Like, why would you do that? Oh, I don't.
Because money. Because money.
Yeah.
Because there's money rolling in for it. People want to advertise alongside the show. And that's the problem with the advertising model. It's propelling content for the wrong reasons.
Yes. Commercialism versus art. So everyone, you have that to look forward to season.
Aren't you glad?
Let's talk about a show I'm actually going to watch.
Okay. Flash?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll watch that. So we have. So are they going to call this the Flashes this season?
I don't know. Now, before we go on, people are going to go, wait a minute, you're complaining about Gotham because you think they're introducing too many characters, and now Flash is doing the same thing. No, they're not.
No, they're not. No, well, they are, but they're doing it for a good reason. I don't mind the introduction of a bunch of characters as long as there's a story to drive in that direction.
Exactly.
And the entire first season set up for this, opening this door.
Yes. Well, so that's our stance.
Yeah, but keep in mind also that Gotham is introducing characters that literally have almost no right to be there at the point in time in which they're representing.
Right.
The Flash, it's okay to introduce the characters because this is the story we're watching. This is when the characters came in. We're watching a very long origin story, but that's fine. That's the story.
Yes.
Gotham is a big what-if story of what if we introduced all of these villains that Batman fought long before Batman showed up?
Right. And it's been well established in the comics over and over again that through different means that Jay Garrick and Barry know each other. You know, it's not like they created that connection for the TV show, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I do like what they have in store. I'm excited for it. It's a good show. Jay Garrick seems like it'll be an interesting addition. And I have read somewhere that we will see Harrison Wells back in the picture.
I did see that too.
But it won't be the Reverse Flash version. It'll be the real, authentic Harrison Wells from some alternate reality.
It's going to be a timey-wimey thing, isn't it?
It is going to be a timey-wimey thing.
A wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey. Yeah, and the which, you know, I hypothesized that he would be our Harrison Wells, but I did say that I think they could bring him back.
They'd be difficult. I mean, I guess they could, because they didn't erase, but the problem is that would mean, I don't know, it would be a conflict. Like, it would ripple the time stream, I think, in a weird way.
Right. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and they also are introducing, what's his name, Wally West, and which that I find interesting because they're introducing a character as Wally West. They're adhering to the mythos that they created in that because Wally West is typically Iris's nephew or cousin or something like that.
And nephew, I believe.
Nephew. And so because they've established the West family as African-American in the show, so will be Wally West.
Yeah, yeah. And when I saw people complain online about that, I was just like, have you been watching the show? Iris and her father are black. Like, it wouldn't make any sense to have him be white. Like, right. Seriously.
Anyone out there who has a problem with that, let us know and give us your home addresses. We'll come punch you in the face.
Well,
I mean, you can understand partially where they're coming from, but only in a this change wasn't made like the Fantastic Four just to introduce we have to be politically correct.
Color. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
My thing is
the woman playing Iris is like she's amazing and she's done a really good job and
This was not an affirmative action move. This was it was a logical move. There is a diverse audience, and it was a bit of a twist. But if you're already on board, if you already were okay with the race change for Iris and her father, then why should it matter if they continue that logical conclusion with Wally as well? It should fit.
And it seems to me there is actual chemistry between between Barry and Iris. So, the actors are doing their job and I think they should just stick with it. So there's no problem with, the race change there. It just, they found good actors. Fine.
Right. And my thing was like, I didn't see any big outrage over Iris, race change. So like why people all of a sudden now are up in the arms about Wally. It's like,
true. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
if you're such a big Flash fan to adhere that heavily to the canon and couldn't care that much, then you should have had this outrage a year ago because it should have been easy to see that path. Like, right. I didn't put it together at the time because I was never as big a fan and I didn't really care enough. But, as soon as Iris West was made to be an African-American character, it's a foregone conclusion that Wally West is likely to also be black.
Right. It would be like, taking, having Johnny Storm be black and then having Sue Storm be white. It just wouldn't make any sense. Sorry. But.
Burn.
I'm curious, though, regardless of anyone's race, they're bringing Jay Garrick in as a Flash from another universe, which I love because I love the whole old idea. I've said this over and over again that Flash, when they came up with the show, they went, all these people who want these shows steeped in real world logic, screw you. This is a comic book show. So they're introducing Jay Garrick as a Flash from another universe. Is Wally West actually going to be the nephew or cousin, or is he going to be Flash from another universe?
I hope this isn't going to become a Sliders.
I don't think. Well, yeah, that'll be weird.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, yeah, but he's.
I think he'll legitimately be Iris's nephew, and for reasons that they'll explain, he'll come into the story. But I don't know. Who knows?
If you look at it, though, it looks like they're introducing a lot of this stuff from him going into that wormhole thing at the end of season one.
Well, let's put it this way: they're introducing a lot of. That seems like they're doing a lot of that stuff, but you have to remember when you're seeing these previews this early before the show starts, you're only seeing stuff that they've filmed already, which are probably for the first maybe three episodes of the season.
Right, and so, to some extent, it's sizzle reel. It's stuff that they put together just to be able to advertise. It may not even
be on the show, right?
Be pretty specific, yeah.
And that's if you can find the real stuff. If you go to YouTube, there are like thousands of fake trailers for season two.
There's lots of that. There's lots of fake trailers. I know you get sucked into that vortex, John.
So wait, you're saying they put fake stuff on vortex. YouTube? No way. So yes. Okay. I guess so. I don't think we should see him become the Flash then, if he's actually just Wally West on the show. Because it's too early, to have two Flashes running around.
And I tend to believe that's likely to be the case, that he'll just be Wally West for some period of time, and they'll find some way to turn him into another Flash.
Or they'll kill him off, and then they'll bring in someone that looks just like him, named Wally, who also needs the Wally West, his twin brother, or whatever. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They already did that.
You know, what about the other show with the Atom? That's what I'm interested in.
Yes.
I'm interested
Legends
to see
Tomorrow.
How they're going.
I'm interested for multiple reasons. So for one, if you've seen the trailer for it, it seems that, for one, Starling City will now be Star City in honor of him, even though he's not actually dead. but the city seems to think he's dead, which is interesting. And I'm sure that'll be a plot point that they'll cover in the first half of the season somehow, because obviously he'll have to be around in time for Legends of Tomorrow. But I'm curious how they're going to handle the whole Oliver Queen being actually in a good mood and trying to be happy. Like, I don't want to see Oliver go back to the broody, annoying asshat that he has been. I want to see a real Green Arrow. I want to see a little bit lighter, a little bit. I want to see some of that come out in his everyday persona. Hopefully they'll adhere to that. And obviously, I think they've teased the fact that they're going to, this will be the time that they'll bring Sarah back in this next set of episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that work?
Lazarus Pit.
Wait, what?
The Lazarus Pit.
Oh, God. Razagul, yeah, but that's supposed to drive you.
Malcolm Merlin.
Yeah, but it's
is,
supposed to
is
drive you crazy.
Now. Right. Which is, so that'll be a plot point. You know, half a season is dealing with the crazy, murderous psychopath that Sarah Lance becomes, and they can get her cooled down enough to be, you know, on the right side of things.
Well, and that was something too. She's not Black Canary in the Legends of Tomorrow?
She's White Canary. She's okay. White Canary, which is actually an established DC character, but it's not
right.
typically her as
right.
the alter ego.
I wonder if this goes back to the whole derived character thing.
Yeah. Well, and also in the comics, White Canary is a nut job, so it kind of fits.
Ow. Too early.
Too early?
Too soon, no.
Oh, yeah, so, right, and that fits, and I can see where they're going with that. Yeah, I mean, because this is my worry, right? We're bringing in alternate universes. We already did time travel on Flash, and we're bringing alternate universes on Flash. And now we're introducing a show which is all based around time travel. And weird alternate versions of things.
And with Rory in charge of all the things, Rory is in charge? Come on.
No, he was Seriously? The most level-headed of those guys as it was. Rory is the best one to be in charge.
That's true. And you know what this means, right?
What?
It means that there might be a guest, you know, episode with Amy Pond. So
it won't be Amy Pond. They'll find a way.
I know.
I see where you're going. Yes, it's an opening. They already technically had that opening with Captain Jack Harkness in the show.
That's
but
true.
But yeah, a casting opening to bring in some other Doctor Who alumni.
This is going to be another one of those things where can you spot the sheer number of Doctor Who alumni that joined the show?
So, wait, could they bring Doctor Who in on The Flash since they're dealing with alternate universes?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
At most, I think you could get maybe some sort of weird referential nod, but you're not going to get a real crossover. But here's the thing I'm most excited about with Arrow this season. They're bringing
that,
in...
That he's not an asshat?
No, not that. I already talked about that. We're going to get some resolution to a show that got killed last season.
Okay.
They're bringing in Constantine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he's going to be in episodes of this show.
Yeah, no, and same actor?
Same actor, same
yeah,
part.
How did that get canceled and Gotham is still alive? Really?
You know,
seriously, man.
There's a part of my brain that's a raging monster over that, and I've tried to subdue it. but yes, it doesn't. It's baffling. It doesn't make any sense. But the only logic I can apply to it is that Constantine is most likely a more expensive show because of the effects. And
The Flash isn't?
And Constantine was on NBC, where they're a little bit more concerned about those rating numbers than Fox is, slightly. Fox is still technically second tier, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, they're, that channel is not their, not the news show, apparently. But
okay, hold on a second. Which channel is then Supergirl going to be on?
CBS.
That's CBS, yeah.
So that's the Constantine replacement on CBS?
Well, it's not nothing on CBS before. This is their first foray into superhero television in who knows, decades.
Oh, that's probably. Right. You said NBC. I didn't.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I did not watch Constantine.
And you were part of the problem, Dave.
I watched the first episode and then.
See, I watched it and it wasn't that bad. It was great. They had the first, and you could tell they were going to be there. I mean, it's the first season, so there's always a couple of bumps. The actors getting into character, figuring out who they really are as they're bringing these characters to life. Right. And they were doing a good job.
They were. It was dark. It was messy. It was, it was complex.
There was a whole bunch of subplots going on that.
Right. But it was well thought out. It was well written and well executed, I think. And it made for, that's a version of Constantine I really can enjoy. And I'm happy to see that they're not throwing that away, that these guys are trying to honor the integrity of that show by bringing him in to be part of the Arrow world and hopefully more than just once. And if you watch the whole season, that ended on a note where you wanted more big time.
I mean, they could have him bounce around to all the shows, to continue on his storyline.
Hey, maybe at one point he'll get his own show.
On the CW?
Maybe. Well, it wouldn't be the first time that one network picked up where another network dropped the ball.
Go ahead.
That would be a really cool way to do it. Bring him in this season. Sprinkle him in all the episodes here and there. Continuing on with his story from where it left off. Reintroducing him, and then
and allowing things to advance as background subplot,
and then you just start
pick it up.
Right, you just start a new season on CW where he's exactly where he was. I mean, he moves along like you don't need to redo his origin or anything at that point.
I think honestly the reason they didn't automatically jump in there and try to pick it up as it was when it was canceled was because. They already had, a third show that they're introducing this season. I think they don't want to stretch themselves too thin.
True.
Do you guys see the same pattern where it's like almost every scripted show now is either going to be a Law and Order, an NCIS, or a Marvel or DC venue? Literally, there's going to be no other scripted shows on the air.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sure there'll be a couple things that pilot and then die in a week.
Have you guys been watching Mr. Robot?
Oh, yes.
No, I didn't.
No, what is wrong with you? Watch all of it.
I never watched Big Bang Theory either, so.
Yeah, but Big Bang Theory, we're talking about.
Different levels.
Yeah.
Completely different levels.
No, for me, it's the same level. It's the one where I say, oh, I never saw it. And everybody starts screaming at me like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right. Mr. Robot is the breakout summer hit of this year. And it was amazing. I mean, this was awesome television. And everyone who has a brain should watch the show. At its core, it's basically about this guy who's a hacker, both professionally and, in his free time, and him getting involved in some very shady anti-establishment type movements. But there's a lot of, this guy is, super antisocial, definitely, he is a very flawed anti-hero. But you really get on board with him, and there's these subplots and weird mysteries and things that you sort of latch onto over time. It's like, what is, because you know that there's bits of him that are slightly off, and it's really, really clever and interesting the way they played it out. Do you saw the whole season, Dave?
No.
Where did you end up?
I have three episodes left to go.
Okay. I'm not gonna spoil anything anyway, but I'm definitely not gonna spoil anything related to those right now.
And I've heard that a lot happens in the last three episodes. So yes. And yes, I'm one of those that I go back and watch things after they air, after everyone tells me what a great show it is. Yeah. And if none of that's good enough for you, it stars Christian Slater. So come that's on. True. Co-stars, right. So, I mean, come on. If you're a Cuffs fan, I just not want to watch Mr. Robot.
A Who's fan?
You know, he did so many things. That was not the peak of his
no,
career.
No, I'm sorry. Cuffs, Broken Arrow. That's all you need to know about Christian Slater.
Are you purposely trying to pick the two worst movies he was ever in?
I actually like Broken Arrow, so stop.
Sure. There were so many good movies. Heathers. Pump Up the Volume.
Heathers I've heard of.
Have you heard of Christian Slater, John?
It's vaguely familiar. I don't know.
True Romance.
True Romance, I've heard.
Wasn't Heathers his first movie?
Not his first. No, because he was a child actor. He did some things when he was pretty young. It was one of his first big movies that he was in, where he was actually like in a starring role. He was actually on The Nerdist recently. Him and Rami Malek.
Yes, that was a really good episode.
It was. I really liked his Jack Nicholson impression story about that.
Oh God! Yes, so. he's the only person that should play young Jack Nicholson. So anyway, the point is that there is other good scripted shows out there. They're just a lot of them aren't on the main three anymore. You know.
Yeah. Some of them aren't even on television, but
well, that's true. Like stuff that's on Netflix,
right?
Yeah, Jessica Jones is that gonna be on? That's the Netflix.
That is coming out. Yes, not.
I really want to see that.
Well, you know, John, if you
close to the is it the end of the year or is it like in early 2016? I can't remember.
Okay, John and Ben, if you actually visited our website once a day, you would see that we have a news article that we just posted on Thursday when they announced.
Wait, we put things on the site.
When they announced the release date for it, there was a video that came out for the
teaser trailer.
So it's October 17th, I believe.
Okay.
Cool. Something to look forward to. That is going to be interesting.
Yes.
There's no way that couldn't be interesting.
Now, if for people who've seen the teaser trailer, you can confirm or deny this, John.
Wait, there's a teaser trailer?
There's a teaser trailer, which shows you pretty much nothing.
I was going to say, it shows you nothing. It's just like... Yes.
It reminds you of those, sometimes
Marvel will put together teaser trailers for comic storylines that are coming out, or just sort of, they're just images that go by real quick.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't like, mean anything.
Like the Flash season 2 thing.
It's a lot of that. Yeah.
It slightly reminds me of the opening credits to Orphan Black.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which I'm heavily into now. So
that show is
see,
awesome
I
too.
Do watch stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, it's October 20th. Sorry.
Okay, but it's this fall, which is good.
Yes. Happy. I went to superheroespeak.com, and it's the news article that was posted on September 11th.
I've heard of this website. I should probably read stuff on there more often.
Yeah, you probably should. Or follow them on Twitter because
I probably do, but I don't use Twitter.
Go look at their Facebook page once in a while.
I am looking at their Facebook page right now. I actually don't even see that article. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Nice.
I see an article
for something that I wrote on Movie Pilot.
Oh. Uh-huh.
People should
check. Why are those guys promoting you? Oh, wait.
All right. What other shows do we have? Dave.
So
what else is coming out?
No, well, we didn't finish.
So we have Supergirl.
Hello.
Is
there anything else
awesome
to say about
the extended
about
trailer
Arrow
for that was really
things?
Good.
You guys both cut out for a second. That was weird. I don't know if that was on my end or. Okay.
That's because we're not allowed to talk at the same time. It cancels our reality.
So I heard Supergirl, and what were the other ones you were saying?
So, well, I think we've covered Arrow well enough at this point, and Legends of Tomorrow and Flash, the semi-decent shows. Then we have Supergirl premiering, and of course we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 coming up.
Yes.
And later, Agent Carter goes to Hollywood.
John, have you seen the teaser trailer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet?
Yes. It looks a mess. But I'm going to watch it. Because it's awesome.
I wouldn't say it looks a mess. I think it looks like an awesome mess. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, an awesome mess. That's a good...
What they didn't show us actually, at all is what kind of hand Coulson has now.
Oh, wait, yeah.
People keep forgetting that. He lost his hand at the end of the last season.
That's right. I completely forgot. Now,
made him part of Phase 2.
Maybe Aquaman can help him out. Give him a big hug.
I think that would be a little bit difficult.
So, exactly. So what are they going to do about that? Is he going to give him a robotic hand? Is he going to have a hook?
Give him a patch.
Is he already an android? Oh, wait, no. He's not an LMD. So.
Right. Yeah. So you can't just replace it.
Just put an eye patch over it.
That is a common fix in the Marvel world, it seems.
Oh my god, yeah. It's I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, he can't walk around all season with his arm in a sling to hide his hand. You know,
I'm sure they'll do something with it.
In the real world, like they're having dramatic leaps with artificial limbs.
Right,
you know,
he could have an Iron Man hand.
I was about to say, they could easily give him a robotic hand. Right.
The problem is, though, that would mean he has to reveal himself to Tony Stark finally, who will probably punch him in the face.
You think Tony would punch him in the face?
I think he would.
Now,
and then he would help him back up. That's just the way
to look at it. About that, though, wasn't there an article? I swear I read an article where they had put one of the executives for the Marvel universe under
I knew we eventually would have to get to this. So Kevin Feige, who has been the CEO of Marvel Films since Iron Man 1.
Since pretty much the MCU.
Right. And he was reporting directly to Marvel's CEO. His name escapes me at the moment.
Perlmutter?
Perlmutter. He's now going to be reporting directly to the Disney
CEO.
Which may have the effect of putting a lot more distance between the TV part of the universe and the movie part of the universe.
That's what I've read.
I have a modicum of concern about that, but not a lot. I don't think it's going to blur those lines much, because it obviously is something they've been trying to have connectivity in. I don't think it's going to cause that rift. I think that it was a move to abate a problem that has been going on behind the scenes that we've only seen the after effects of. We've seen Edgar Wright walk away from his pet project with Marvel, with Ant-Man. We've seen Joss Whedon, you know, become sort of hermetic and asinine towards the end of promoting Age of Ultron, and then eventually saying he's not going to do anything with Marvel anymore. And I think a lot of that goes back to the reason. It's the reason that all of these things have happened has a lot to do with the leadership rolling up through Perlmutter and the Marvel influence, basically being at odds with other influences. And so I think that, and you know, at odds with Kevin Feige and at odds with Disney's idea of how things should be going. And so it's created this, you know, mommy and daddy are fighting scenario that's driven some people away. So I think this is a good move for the movies.
All right. So I have heard two different thought patterns on this. I've heard three different reasoning for this. The first one to me sounds a bit ridiculous, and it just sounds like pure greed. Is Disney was not happy with the performance of Avengers 2. They didn't feel that made enough money. It made $1.4 billion, people. I don't understand how that's so not. But according to supposedly Disney insiders, they were saying that they were expecting it to perform better than the first Avengers, which I think made $1.57 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
But you also have to remember that it hasn't come out on DVD yet, so we don't know what
it's not done. I think John just died.
That wasn't me.
I think Dave just died.
Yeah. I think.
Hello?
Dave?
Hello? Yes?
Did your desk just fall apart?
Your chair? My table fell
Hello?
Over.
What happened to you? So, this just in, this is breaking news. It seems that our co-host Dave has had a furniture accident. IKEA has failed him, and we will hopefully be recovering, but we will give you moment-by-moment coverage of this event as it unfolds.
Now, here's what I understand. I'm the one who's drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Apparently, his table is drinking. It was being held together with baling wire and duct tape.
Well, you know, you can't use the mustache duct tape to put stuff together. It's not what it's for, really.
It's true.
Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
That's okay. We've filled the airtime with jokes about you.
Yes. You will enjoy them in editing, I'm sure.
Yes.
No, you got to keep the whole thing in, for crap's sake. It's tension. We're creating tension.
All right. Okay, hold on. So I heard three things. The first one being that Disney didn't feel that Avengers 2 made enough money.
Oh, good. Right. You didn't realize
it. Preposterous.
So 1.4 billion, where supposedly the first one made, I think, 1.57, something like that.
Yeah.
So they wanted it to perform better than that one. But sequels never do as well as the original.
It's not impossible, but it's
unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's very rare. And so it's like, okay, well, that doesn't seem to me logical. The other one was they were saying Perlmutter is traditionally a penny pincher,
mm-hmm.
and that he was slashing money here and there, and the creative people weren't happy with that, and that's why they've walked away.
Right.
So Disney's
He's also
like,
a micromanager, from what I've heard.
Right. And then, right, the last one is kind of like, well, you know, it goes along with what you were saying, where people weren't happy with the way they were running things because, was it James Gunn wanted Ant-Man to be a standalone movie, and Marvel was like, no, that's got to be part of our universe, you know, and they wanted him to add in a couple, you know, the couple little things that linked it together.
In Gunn's defense, you can't do a Marvel movie and expect it to be standalone at this point.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of like that argument I kind of see, but at the same time, no, because it's not like you can sit there and go, I want to make a movie about Luke Skywalker and it has nothing to do with the rest of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not going to no one's going to let you do that. You know,
right.
It's going to be like, no, it ties into the universe and here's the plot point. But I do think, you know, like in Avengers 2, the whole thing with Thor and the lake and the that felt forced. It didn't fit with that.
It did
movie.
A little bit. Although I found this out recently. There was an Easter egg in that scene that none of us caught.
What?
That was totally a Joss Whedon thing. So this, and I'm going to take this tangent moment here.
Was it some little message that says this scene sucks?
No. So there's this, in this scene where Thor is on his little acid trip and seeing all these you know, premonitions and whatnot, there's a scene where there's like these characters in the shadows between these columns. There's three of them, and they're these masked characters. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The three of them have these like, you know, metal masks on. The first one, like, so there's three in a row. The first one has a mask of a wolf. The second one has a mask of a ram, and the third one has a mask of a stag, or also known as a hart.
Oh, Wolfram Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Okay.
Very nice. Wolfram Hart. Oh, nice. do you get it, Dave?
Yes. I'm okay. Just trying to figure out, you know, I guess, how did he sneak that by? Or did they oh, okay, that works.
Seriously, how
would you know? Like, it barely makes any impact on the scene, so why not? Whether it actually continues into anything in the Thor Ragnarok is probably won't.
Right.
It was really just a Joss Whedon playing around and say, what if I sneak this in here?
Yeah, somehow I don't think Buffy's going to appear somehow.
No.
Although he managed to sneak
Although
a Buffy.
Although she did, that would freaking... be pretty awesome. Well, yeah, isn't Sif, basically the Buffy of the Asgardian universe?
Yeah. Well, there was a Buffy in Firefly, so...
Wait, are you saying...
That's true.
Wait, did you just say Thor is the Buffy of the...
No, I said Lady Sif.
Oh, okay.
Lady Sif is their version of Buffy, essentially.
No, I think Thor is their version of Buffy.
He does have blonde hair, I'll give you that.
He has long blonde hair. He uses a hammer, but if you took the head off of the hammer, it's just a wooden stake. I mean, come on.
It's a bit of a reach. I'm going to say that's a bit of a reach, but if that's how you want to take it, go right ahead.
As much as I like that idea.
Yes, no. All right, fine. So, but again, and there is also a rumor too, I don't know how true this is, that we know that there's this Marvel think tank that gets together every once in a while, and they talk about not only the comic books that are coming out and the big crossover storylines that they're going to do, but now they've gotten involved with the movies, where they have they're given the scripts for review, and they try to say, oh, let's put this plot point in, let's put that plot point in, let's tie this together this way, and they're saying that they won't be involved anymore, which
that's
I think that's
not good.
That would be a huge mistake, yeah. You know. I mean, well, maybe taking away some of their control and only having them there as a consulting piece, but. Mm-hmm. These are the people who are writing the comics and are trying to make sure the characters stay true to the characters Marvel's trying to establish, you know, and to sit there and take their power away and say, oh, no, we're going to go the Warner Brothers route, and we're going to create movies where the comic book people aren't involved at all. Yeah, you're going to end up with, you know, Batman and Robin.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to see Batman Superman come out, and the very next day, they're going to reinstate that group with even more power. It's like, well, you know, it could have gone better, but
I think though we've talked a lot about the degree of influence of people in the comics, and I think there's legitimacy that the people who write the comics definitely have obviously ideas and that are worth consideration. I don't necessarily think that this move will take their voice away from things in these movies. And furthermore, I think the people that they're hiring as it is to head up these films are big enough fans of the comics that who've read enough of the comics that they're not looking to violate that trust and that message with the people. I don't think you need, you know, Stanley in the room to make a good Spider-Man movie.
But you have to have a Stanley cameo.
Yes.
You do. But I'm saying, like, you know, if you were making, you know, eventually they're hopefully going to make a good Spider-Man movie. But, you know, for it to be good doesn't require that, you know, Bendis is there and influencing things, or that any of the prior writers who've done some of the more successful runs of Spider-Man are actively a part of it. It just requires that people who appreciated those stories and those things that make up the essence of what Spider-Man is being in charge and being involved.
Don't forget Schumacher, right? He's the guy that did the last two
Batman movies.
Yeah, Batman movies. He was a Batman fan.
Yeah,
but he was a fan of the 66 TV show. So.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. But that's not the types of directors they're putting in charge of these things, or writers for that matter.
Not yet.
I don't.
And also,
Kevin Feige strikes me as the type who's a fan of all of this stuff. It's not he is ultimately at the helm here. And as long as Kevin Feige is in place, I don't care who his bosses are, because I trust in Feige.
Do you have that little button on your
shirt? Yes, I think he does.
It's on my underpants.
And by the way, speaking of Stan Lee, did anyone catch, I believe he was just recently on Larry King, and he was asked, so why do you think the Fantastic Four failed? And do you know what his answer was?
No,
what was his answer?
Yeah.
Because he said he said there was two reasons. One, no one consulted him on the script, but the more important one is he didn't have a cameo.
Yeah. That I think is a joke response, though. Like, yeah, there are certain movies he hasn't had cameos in. And when it comes to a Fantastic Four movie, he certainly should have a cameo in it, being that he was instrumental in that set of characters. But right. But I don't think his cameo is the make or break point of a movie necessarily. That's definitely is. It's always fun to see Stan's cameos in these movies. I love seeing how Stan shows up in all these various movies, and hopefully he'll be able to continue doing it for a long time. He's getting up there. But I do think, but you're right. I think that maybe there is some validity to him not having consulted on the film at all. But I mean, so let me ask you this.
Well,
let me just throw a hypothetical out there. Do you think that the movie would have been better if they had like some version of the Fantastic Car or some version of Herbie involved somehow in the
Herbie,
movie?
Herbie? Really?
Yes.
Herbie?
just throwing that out there. Do you think those things would have helped in any way?
No, not at all.
Because they had designs for both of those things.
I know.
And they were horrible. They were ridiculous.
Right, but that goes back to trying to market toys versus trying to do a good movie.
To an extent. But yeah, the core problem was that they were trying to write this movie to be something antithetical to what the Fantastic Four was. You know, I don't have a problem with grounding to a degree that it's semi-believable science. But that doesn't mean that it has to be dark and gritty in addition to it. And I think that's where they went off the rails, is they tried to make this too much of a, you know, dark, suspenseful, you know, gothamic type of drama when that is not what the Fantastic Four is about.
You know, I'm going to use that in every one of my reviews from now on. The worst rating will be gothamic.
Gothamic. I should have just said gothic. I don't know why I said gothamic.
It fits.
Gothenic. Oh, I think you just named the episode. yes.
That was awesome.
It made me wonder when he made that statement, because he was obviously joking when he said it, but it made me wonder if there was any truth. Like, has he seen all of the Marvel scripts before the movies were made? You know,
more than likely.
Probably not. I
would say so.
I think he saw it in the extent that he had a script to know what his part was. But I don't think he reviewed them as a consultant in every single case.
Ah, see, now I need to know this. Stan, if you're listening, we need to get you on the show so you can talk about this. So,
yeah.
Stan's always listening.
I know.
You just have to call out to him. He can hear your voice.
Yeah. He is the Matrix.
Have faith in Stan. In Stan we trust. So, yes. I would be interested to know the answer to you, but I doubt it. It would be my intuition. I think, again, as long as you have people who have a strong appreciation for the true content and are trying to pay homage to it and trying to honor it well, then you can do good with these things. I think all the cases of things where things did poorly is because there were either those people weren't there or there were too strong of other influences in the way. For instance, with Fantastic Four, I get the impression it's not really clear how much of it is the director's fault and how much of it's the studio's fault, but I tend to believe the studio is more to blame than Josh Trank. Because I think the problem is Josh Trank is a young, new director. And yeah, he might have had a certain vision, a certain idea of how he wanted this to play out, which may not have been really the best vision of it per se. But if I'd like to believe that if he did it on his own, that if he didn't have studio influence, we might have had a slightly better version of Fantastic Four than what we had.
Right.
Only slightly.
I don't know how much better. Might have been a lot better. Might have been great. But what we got, you know, what we got was terrible. And should not exist. It's an abomination and needs to be burned with fire.
So going back to John's original point with the separation of church and state, I mean, TVs and movies.
Nice.
I don't think it's going to be as much of an issue with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter because they're on ABC, which is owned by Disney. So Disney's already, you know, been a part of those shows. Right.
Has already a problem with the Netflix shows, though?
that's the question, you know, because yeah. I think they're being completely done by Marvel, and I don't know how much Disney's involved with those at all.
I think
at this point
they may not be in any way other than the fact that they own them. I don't know. Disney pretty much exerts influence in everything that they own. So I would tend to believe that they're obviously they're aware that these things are happening. They're making money from them, so and they're money for them. They're going to exert some degree of influence over them and have right. an opinion about it. And regardless of any of these things, like there's part of the reason that they're doing these shows is as a venue to introduce characters that they don't have the bandwidth to introduce on the big screen,
right.
With the intent that they could very well show up on the big screen. And I don't think that that's going to change with this change, or at least I hope not. I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic that I think that there's still a chance for television canon characters to transition to the big screen.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Because it seems like the person who was most against Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the movies intertwining was Whedon. It wasn't
right,
Marvel and it wasn't Disney. It was...
Right, which I think was more stress than it was reality. I don't think he really felt that way. And I'll forgive him for that.
It'd no. be, yeah, it'd be hard to see why he would feel like that because it just... I mean,
he's
just, why would...
He almost frustrating for Agent, the character. It was his... He touted it as a great thing when it was coming to television. He was in this fever pitch of being... overwhelmed and oversaturated from working on Age of Ultron, that he was just spewing things that he didn't necessarily believe.
Right. Fine. It was a fever. It was a fever statement. We'll let it go at that. So, all right. So we've talked about, we didn't really talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. other than it's coming back and they're going to be concentrating heavily on obviously the Inhumans this season. And they're going to be bringing in a new main
Daisy
villain.
Daisy gets a haircut.
Daisy gets a haircut, yes.
An Inhuman villain. She does get a haircut. That's a thing. And she's Daisy this season. That's an important factor.
Right.
She's not going to be Sky anymore. They're making that transition. She's going by her real name. Which I can see. I mean, if you found out finally what your real name was after such a long time of not knowing, I think you would embrace it eventually.
But is she going to be, is she going to be using her powers a lot? I mean... Because that
she's
kind of unbalance
things a bit. Warriors, essentially. She's the secret warrior lead at this point. She is the role that she is in the comics. And so, yeah, I think she is going to be using her abilities more and be more confident with them. That's, I think, going to be an important MO of this season. Though it does seem, at least from the preview, that there's going to be some tension between Lincoln and Mac, which will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Right. Hmm. So yeah, we don't know. I mean, we don't know anything other than, again, she's definitely going to be Daisy. It's going to be Inhuman heavy, Secret Warriors, and the new villain. Who is it again?
Flash.
Flash, right. So that's interesting. I mean, it's funny, like, at least they're not... The one thing I do like about Agents is they're not hashing the same villain over and over and over again at you. You know, like
yeah. Although we will probably definitely see Ward trying his damnedest to get the new Hydra order in place. So
right,
I don't think he's definitely not down and out. He's going to be back with a vengeance.
No, but that's an interesting storyline that has a good story and is moving along well. It's
yes.
not like it doesn't feel forced down your throat. It's not like
right.
you know, getting. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example. It's not like Ward is this just the bad guy doing something silly in every episode and they get
right.
foiled, and but he escapes right. at the end.
In reality, he's probably one of the best composed villains they have because, you know, he's gone from being a double agent but a good guy to being the bad guy but feeling justified in his stance because he
right.
had leadership that he was following, and then doing all these things that were sort of on this gray line. You know, because he felt that it was best for Sky, and now he's a man with a vengeance, and so he's gone full dark. He's gone Heisenberg, in a very natural way.
Another good scripted show on television, John.
Yes,
was on television.
Was I'm sorry. Yes. All right.
That,
yes.
That
so
one
so
I will point out one more thing though. So we barely touched on Supergirl. And I'm kind of excited for that show, but I'm curious, Dave, in the trolling of weird websites that you do, If there was any similar backlash to the racial bending of James Olsen.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy, no, you've gone corporate.
I've seen some, but I've seen a lot of people who just, I'm excited for Supergirl. I can't wait to see it. I don't know how they're going to handle Superman in the show. Like, obviously, in the preview, they show a shadowy figure that's Superman, but that's it. Like, they don't...
I get the impression that's the most we're getting.
Right,
and,
right.
And then he goes off-world for 5 years.
Which, that kind of upsets me. It's like, we really should have him once in a while on the show. And right. If you've got to get someone different to play him... If you got to get someone different to play them, then great. Just because you're doing a separation, you're having Flash in the movies and you have a Flash TV show. So come on, then fine. Let's just do a full separation between the two, and people who like the shows can have those characters. But what I've seen is a lot of people just saying they think it looks stupid because they're like, they're saying it's, you know, Ugly Betty, but with Supergirl and those kinds of things. And it's just like,
they're already calling her ugly.
No. The concept of the show of Ugly Betty, you know, or Gone Girl, or like any stupid girl show.
It's a girl drama, you know, finding her foothold kind of thing.
Right, wrapped in a superhero show. But it's like, but that's what's going to make it good. It's going to be
humanity.
Right, it's going to be an actual a show with.
God forbid we have humanity in characters.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's going to be a human feeling show where she actually has emotions and feelings and has a story arc of her being a shy, nerdy girl becoming a superhero and having to deal with that. And as opposed to just, you know, the comic book character, you know, and, you know, it's why the Marvel movies work, people. So,
right.
Of course, it's why Supergirl's going to work. It's probably why I'm more excited about that than I am about some of the other shows that are coming back. You know, I definitely want to see what they can do with it. I mean, they can do it really right, or they could screw it up, you know, and have it feel like that parody video of the Black Widow movie that's been floating around on YouTube. So hopefully they don't go that direction. They go like, yes, this makes sense. It works. There's a good emotional arc here. And I'm, you know, cheering for her when she finally puts the costume and the S on and saves people, you know.
The extended trailer looked really good, though. It looked like,
it
looked like a real, it almost looked like a movie type thing, you know? It was that good.
Yes. So yeah. I think it's going to be good. I can't wait for it. And
do you think she'll be on Flash?
That's the question.
I've gotten the impression. I've gotten mixed signals on that. The most recent information seems to suggest the likelihood of any crossover is very, very slim. But you know, we'll see.
I really hope they do, because that would just be awesome to tie her in with everything.
It may be something that could happen, but not this season, really.
Right. Yeah, just remember, if they're bringing Constantine, that means there's magic. If there's magic, she has a major weakness to that.
There you go. There's another show Constantine can show up in. I didn't even think of it that way, you know? But again, and it's the same producers. Same people doing Supergirl that has done Flash and Arrow. So it's like, it's just on a different channel. Like, So basically what it comes down to is we have a plethora of really good and Gotham TV shows coming out this season.
And Gotham. Oh, that was beautiful.
Or Gothnik.
Gothamic, yes.
We have one Gothnik show, Gotham. So on that note, guys, I know it feels kind of abrupt, but I have a hard stop today because I have somewhere to be. So
and you're tired of holding your table up?
No, I'm just holding my microphone at this point. So if you guys have nothing else major to add, we'll put a pin in it.
Yeah, I think we did good.
All right, and don't forget. Go ahead.
I was just say I need to go and cloak myself in coffee now.
Yes. And don't forget, now go back and listen to episode 120 if you haven't listened to it yet. You can have a chance to win those tickets for New York Comic Con. But again, you got to listen to episode 120 for your chance. And again, thanks to Pete's Basement for that. And we'll announce who the winner was on our next episode. So. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh.
Well, there are better ways to join the conversation.
Really? Like what?
Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest.
Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+?
I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book reviews, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list.
Cool!
Yep, are you still going to try to hijack Dad's mic?
Nope, I'm going to try to answer the Stump the Geek question.
Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl?
Oh, that's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. My feelings!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's going to get caught in the door.
Ow.